Today is the 18th September 2018, Tuesday class. So we will now get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the Buddha puja. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansiyin Busa. Namo Guansiyin Busa. Namo Guansiyin Busa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana onwards. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganna sambarayutena Dopenahan suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutaman vanna ganda gono petang etang kusuma santhatin pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe pujemi butang kesume nanena punena matena coho tu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganha tu mutamang Adivase tu no bante pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang
just give me a minute
Puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujayami.
ช่ไหมสังหังปเจไหม
โอเค you all can be seated and maintain some form of attention then we will have our half an hour of meditation relax body and mindThen just silence your mind and maintain awareness. Okay. Just relax body and mind, silence everything. You need to train your mind, you go ahead. Otherwise, just relax, silence.Then whatever thought that still arise, just let it arise. It will slow down, then finally it will still become quiet. That is for you to realize your true mind, your silent mind. When the mind returns to its original state before stirring, it is justAware, peaceful, calm, still. So that is your true mind. Without thought, you are already aware. Don't try to be aware. Okay, I'll let you meditate. And when the time is up, I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we will turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Deyata Sattamang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta eva manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo Anjali karaniyo Anutarang punyaketang Dokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can visit. Then we will continue from where we stop. I think that day we were at page 367, chapter 20, the working of karma. So we were wait for PG. She will come and lead us as usual. Then in the meantime, turn to page 367. Page 367, I think, is about classification of karma. So the main title is The Working of Karma. Then we will continue from the classification of karma. So under the text, there are four types of classification. Immediately effective karma, subsequently effective karma, indefinitely effective karma, and ineffective karma. These are the four types. Okay, PG, you continue. Page 367, yeah.
Good evening, Bratia, Mr. Steele, and all Kalanamitas. We are now at page 367. There is thus a classification of karma with reference to its time of operation. Immediately effective karma, subsequently effective karma, indefinitely effective karma, and ineffective karma. Illustrations. The result of a good karma reaped in this life. A husband and his wife possessed only one upper garment to wear when they went out of doors. One day the husband heard the Dharma from the Buddha and was so pleased with the doctrine that he wished to offer his only upper garment. But his innate greed would not permit him to do so. He combated with his mind and ultimately overcoming his greed, offered the garment to the Buddha and exclaimed, "I have won, I have won." The king was delighted to hear his story, and in appreciation to his generosity, presented him 32 robes. The devout husband kept one for himself and another for his wife, and offered the rest to the Buddha.
This one is a true story. You look at the note down there, Buddhist legend, under Dhammapada Takata.
But I'm also very sure he wouldn't say, I have won. Okay, the result of a bad karma reap in this life. A hunter who went hunting to the forest, followed by his dog, met by the sideway a bhikkhu who was proceeding on his arms round. As the hunter could not procure any game, he thought it was due to the unfortunate meeting of the bhikkhu. While returning home, he met the same bhikkhu and was deeply enraged at this second encounter. In spite of the entreaties of the innocent bhikkhu, the hunter set the dogs on him. Finding no escape therefrom, the bhikkhu climbed a tree. The bhikkhu hunter ran up to the tree and pierced the soles of the bhikkhu's feet with the point of an arrow. The pain was so excruciating that the rope the bhikkhu was wearing fell upon the hunter, completely covering him. The dogs, thinking that the bhikkhu had fallen from the tree, devoured their own master.
So this second example. Then the third one. Yeah.
Subsequently effective karma. A millionaire's servant returned home in the evening after his laborious work in the field to see that all were observing the eight precepts, as it was a full moon day. Learning that he also could observe them even for half a day, he took the precepts and fasted at night. Unfortunately, he died on the following morning, and as a result of his good action, was born as a deva. Ajatasattu, son of King Bimbisara, was born immediately after his death in a state of misery as a result of killing his father. Indefinite effective karma. No person is exempt from this class of karma. Even the Buddhas and the Arahants may reap the effects of their past karma. The Arahant Mangalana, in the remote past, instigated by his wicked wife, attempted to kill his mother and father. As a result of this, he suffered long in a woeful state, and in his last birth was clubbed to death by bandits. To the Buddha was imputed the murder of a female devotee of the naked ascetics. This was the result of his having insulted a particular Buddha in one of his previous births. The Buddha's foot was slightly injured when Devadatta made a futile attempt to kill him. This was due to his killing a stepbrother of his in a previous birth with the object of appropriating his property. This is another classification of karma according to function. Kicca. Number one is reproductive karma. Number two is supportive karma. Number three is counteractive karma. And number four is destructive karma. Every subsequent birth, according to Buddhism, is conditioned by the good or bad karma, which predominated at the moment of death. This kind of karma is technically known as reproductive karma. The death of a person is merely the temporary end of a temporary phenomenon. Though the present form perishes, another form, which is neither absolutely the same nor totally different, takes its place according to the thought that was powerful at the death moment. Since the karmic force which... How do you pronounce that? Hitherto, I think. Actuated it is not annihilated with the dissolution of the body. It is this last thought process, which is termed reproductive karma, that determines the state of a person in his subsequent birth. As a rule, the last thought process depends on the general conduct of a person. In some exceptional cases, perhaps due to favorable or unfavorable circumstances, at the moment of death, a good person may experience a bad thought, and a bad person a good one. The future birth will be determined by this last thought process, irrespective of the general conduct. This does not mean that the effects of the past actions were obliterated. They may produce the inevitable results at the appropriate moment. Such reverse changes of birth account for the birth of vicious children to virtuous parents and of virtuous children to vicious parents. Now, to assist and maintain or to weaken and obstruct the fruition of this reproductive karma, another past karma may intervene. Such actions are termed supportive karma or counteractive karma respectively. According to the law of karma, the potential energy of the reproductive karma can be totally annulled by a more powerful opposing past karma, which seeking an opportunity may quite unexpectedly operate, just as a counteractive force can obstruct the path of a flying arrow and bring it down to the ground. Such an action is termed destructive karma, which is more powerful than the above two, in that it not only obstructs but also destroys the whole force. As an instance of the operation of all the four, the case of the Venerable Devadatta, who attempted to kill the Buddha and who caused a schism in the Sangha, can be cited. His reproductive good karma destined him to a birth in a royal family. His continued comfort and prosperity was due to the action of his supportive karma. The counteractive karma came into operation when he was subjected to such humiliation as a result of his being excommunicated from the Sangha. Finally, the destructive karma brought his life to a miserable end. The following classification is according to the priority of effort. Garuka karma. Number one is Garuka karma. Number two is Asana karma. Number three is Achina karma. And number four is Katata karma. The first is Garuka karma, which means a weighty or serious action. It is so called because it produces its effect for certain in this life or in the next. On the moral side, the weighty actions are the jhanas or ecstasies, while on the immoral side, they are the subsequently effective heinous crimes, namely matricide, parricide, the murder of an arahant, the wounding of a Buddha, of the Buddha, and the creation of a schism in the Sangha. If, for instance, any person were to develop the jhanas and later to commit one of these heinous crimes, his good karma would be obliterated by the powerful evil karma. His subsequent birth will be conditioned by the evil karma, in spite of his having gained the jhanas earlier. For example, the Venerable Devadatta lost his psychic powers and was born in a woeful state because he wounded the Buddha and caused a schism in the Sangha. King Ajatasattu, as the Buddha remarked, would have attained the first stage of sainthood if he had not committed parricide. In this case, the powerful evil karma obstructed his spiritual attainment. When there is no Vedic karma to condition the birth, the future birth of a death proximate, asana karma may operate. This is the action one does or recollects immediately before the dying moment. Owing to its significance in determining the future birth, the custom of reminding the dying person of his good deeds and making him do good on his deathbed still prevails in Buddhist countries. Sometimes a bad person may die happily and receive a good birth if fortunately he remembers or does a good act at the last moment. This does not mean that although he enjoys a good birth, he will be exempted from the effects of the evil deeds he has accumulated during his lifetime. At times, a good person, on the other hand, may die unhappily by suddenly remembering an evil act or by conceiving a bad thought, perchance compelled by unfavorable circumstances. Habitual karma is the next priority of effect. It is the karma that one constantly performs and recollects and towards which one has a great liking. Habits, whether good or bad, become second nature. They more or less tend to mold the character of a person. At leisure moments, we often engage ourselves in our habitual thoughts and deeds. In the same way, at the death moment, Unless influenced by other circumstances, we, as a rule, recall to mind our habitual thoughts and deeds. The last in this category is cumulative karma, which embraces all that cannot be included in the foregoing tree. This is, as it were, the reserve fund for a particular being. The last classification is according to the plane in which the effects take place. They are, number one, evil action, akusala, which may ripen in the sense sphere, kamaloka. Number two is good actions, kusala, which may ripen in the sense sphere. Number three, good actions which may ripen in the realms of form, rupa loka. And number four, good actions which may ripen in the formless realm, arupa loka. Evil actions which may ripen in the sense sphere. There are 10 evil actions caused by deed, words and mind, which produce evil karma. Of them, 3 are committed by deed, namely killing, stealing and sexual misconduct. 4 are committed by word, namely lying, slandering, harsh speech and frivolous thought. 3 are committed by mind, namely covetousness, ill will and false view. Killing means the intentional destruction of any living being. The Pali word pana strictly means the physical.
Yeah, it's from the word panatipata, pana.
Okay. The Pali term pana strictly means the psychophysical life pertaining to one's particular existence. The rampant destruction of this life force without allowing it to run its due course is panatipata.
Yeah.
Pana means that which breathes.
Have life.
Hence, all animate beings, including animals, are regarded as pana, but not plants, as they possess no mind. Bhikkhus, however, are forbidden to destroy even plant life. This rule, it may be mentioned, does not apply to lay followers. The following 5 conditions are necessary to complete the evil of killing.
This is the 5 conditions.
Yeah.
You have to pay attention.
Number 1, a living being. Number 2, knowledge that it is a living being. Number 3, intention of killing. Number 4, effort to kill. Number 5, subsequent death.
Consequent
death. The gravity of the evil depends on the goodness and the magnitude of the being concerned. The killing of a virtuous person or a large animal is regarded as more heinous than killing of a vicious person or a small animal, because a greater effort is needed to commit the evil and the loss involved is considerably great. The evil effects of killing are brevity of life, ill health, constant grief due to the separation from the loved, and constant fear. 5 conditions are necessary for the completion of evil of stealing, namely, number 1, another's property. Number 2, knowledge that it is so. Number 3, intention of stealing. Number 4, effort to steal. Number 5, actual removal. The inevitable consequences of stealing are poverty, misery, disappointment, and dependent livelihood. 4 conditions are necessary to complete the evil of sexual misconduct, namely, number 1, the thought to enjoy, number 2, consequent effort, number 3, means to gratify, Number four, gratification. The inevitable consequences of sexual misconduct are having many enemies, union with undesirable wives and husbands, and birth as a woman or a eunuch. Ah, being a woman also... That's not fair.
I think, PJ, you go slower a bit and discuss one by one. Otherwise, you just read. They won't learn. Today, not so many. I think we sit together and form a circle. PJ, you can move here. Oh, you push the table out. Push the table out. Bring the whole table out. Then you can sit here. Then I sit here. We can come. All come. Yeah. Because if you go too fast, you won't learn. Okay. I think we will discuss the killing and all those things first. Turn back to page 374. So for killing karma to take effect, there must be five conditions to be satisfied. What is the first condition? It must involve a living being. Understand? Means there is a living being. Then when the killing is been done, that person who wants to kill must have the knowledge that this is a living being. Especially sometimes you don't know. It may be an ant or what. But because it's so small down there, you think it's just some dirt or what. Then suddenly you cause the ant to die. So the second condition is not fulfilled. There is no knowledge that it was a living being. Sometimes you accidentally step on something, it's the same. Yeah, Chui, yes. Pass the mic. Pass
living being on some it. Kind of a mind, is it? And can process some kind of
action. You see, the plant also got consciousness, but it's mono consciousness. Understand not? So that itself is mind, but more simple mind. So what the Buddha meant is beings that breathe, understand? That breathe means got life force. You understand? So the plant also have consciousness, but lay people are not subject to that karmic when you destroy plant, when you harvest them or what. But the monk cannot, understand? Because to the monk, plant also have life. Has life. No. The severe karma is for living beings that breathe. That's why it's pana, anapana, in and out breath. Pana dipata means killing of a being that breathes. Understand? Has breath. So that is heavy karma, because the being that breathe are more complex than mono consciousness plants. You understand? Yeah. But monks, because you want to be a monk, you have to abide by even those precepts, not to kill plants and all those things. You can't just step on it, and because sometimes you may not understand, because through my cultivation I feel it. These plants and all those things, they got respond and feeling. You cut them, actually the plant hurts, and they know. Then sometimes farmers, they used to tell you, if the plant doesn't flower, what you do? You know why they chop? No. No, because they know morning, when the sunlight come out, there is photosynthesis. Then at night, you know what happened? It goes back to the roots. So you want to strengthen the roots. So these people know this is happening. So they chop, chop, chop. The nutrient and all those things cannot go down. So it will start to flower and fruit up there. Yeah, it's, that is just survival, understand? Yeah. So, but to do it to the plant is not so bad, understand? Your intention is not that bad, because to you the plant has got no real life. So, but plant has its own sensitivity. It's like water. It has its own consciousness and vibration. It is cold. Abusive language and vibration, it will condition the water to have that type of not orderly type of crystal. Then the plant also, if you talk to them, they flower very well. And they really, really can feel your love. Well, my mother, not because she got green hand, she talked to the plant. And the plant grow very well. It's true. You have love to all things, your thing lasts very long. All the things that I have, and even my wife, they last very long. Really? True. Yeah. Even my shirt, you ask my wife, the one I bought since university graduation when I go to work, is still around. And it doesn't. Then my pen, and all the things, they last so long. My car and my motorbike. You look at my Otis. Coming to 15 years already, is still very good. Because it's how your mind actually take care of all those things. Then even our house and all those things. This house painting and all those renovation has been 10 years. And it was still like that. I never do anything to it. So it's how you maintain it, keep it. If you have good mind, it has an effect on your environment. On things that you hold on to or love or like you use them, understand? They last very long. But if you are the one that couldn't care less, don't have love, I tell you, very fast you get either deteriorate or destroy. You have to go through it to understand, because this is cultivation. Even my brother's motorbike, he lent me during the university years. For 4 years, I was using that motorbike, a Honda Cup 65. You know what happened? After I returned the motorbike to him, he asked me, how did you use this bike for 4 years? Because the first day I returned, he couldn't even start the bike. He said the bike got problem. He sent the mechanic got to do a lot of things. But when I was using it, no problem. Then there was an incident. My uni mate, they were playing some trick on us. They want to make people go to lecture late. You know what they did? The spark plug. There's a 90 degrees angle on it. They go and bend it straight, so that your spark plug cannot spark. And they did it to my bike also. Well, they did it to so many bikes. But that morning I came down. Last time I need to do the kicking on the ankle, then only start on. One kick as usual, because my mind was very positive. The motorbike start now. Then they all got a shock. After that, they came forward and asked me, can we check your spark plug? They open up, still straight. Hey, how is it you started? Then I look at them, then I knew what they have to. I say, I don't know, I just start. Then only they replace back one spark plug for me. That's why your mind, sometimes they call it mind over matter. It's not mind over matter, it's your love, your understanding and all those things. Okay, then what is the third condition? This is why. This is the reason why the Buddha say there must be mental intention to do things. intention is karma. That's why the Buddha said it is cittena that I call karma. So cittena is mental intention. So the third condition is very important. Then effort to kill is the fourth condition. Here they use the word effort. You can change the word, modify. The action is performed. Understand? When you perform that action that gives rise to the killing, that should be the fourth condition. If you don't perform the action, it will not arise the killing. Then the fifth one, yes, use the mic.
How about intention to kill?
No, the intention is already there. Then you have to act, understand?
But I ask somebody to kill.
That's why the Buddha is very wise. You see, no, I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing. Means what? Even if you don't kill, if it's your intention to kill, you're going to hire assassin or ask people to kill, it's included. But the Christian is not so wise. You know why? Their commandment, they say, thou shalt not kill. Means what? If you don't kill, like your case, you hire people to kill, technically, I use the word technically, you didn't break their commandment, is that? But their commandment is not comprehensive, understand? Whereas the Buddha never say, you shall not kill, no. Thou shall not kill. Say, you undertake the training rule not to cause killing, understand? That's why he is very wise. You see the difference, There is a major difference there. That's why precept and commandment are different. Commandment always thou, you. Thou shall not kill. Thou shall not steal. All is you. But when we say we undertake the training rule to abstain, means abstain means whatever form of way that you come up with, the mental intention to arise the killing is included under that precepts. Okay? The last one is what? Consequent death means that action did result in killing. That's the reason why that's the reason why I used to tell you all, when you are mindful and aware, it's almost impossible to break this precept. You know why or not? Why is it? I think the battery is jumped already. After I will change it, never. You can still use it, because intermittent is okay. Why did I say impossible to break that precept? Take for example, killing of a mosquito. How are the conditions behind for you to cause killing? Mosquito is a living being, isn't it? You know it's a living being because through what? Through your memory and your perception, you don't like the mosquito. But how do you know that there is a mosquito? Either you see it flying, or you hear the sound and I sound. Then what happened to you? No, that mental intention to kill come from where? Your aversion towards the mosquito, isn't it? And that is born of what? Selfishness, isn't it? Where you fear that it may beat you and cause malaria. Understand? Or dengue, sorry. Oh, got two types of mosquito. Dengue is not very mosquito. Dengue also mosquito. Malaria also mosquito. Oh, then dengue? Well, I didn't know mosquito got two very powerful diseases. So you look at the mental intention condition by your memory and your negativity of mind state. First is the fear. Okay? Fear. Fear because you are selfish. Understand? You can kill the mosquito, but you don't allow the mosquito to harm you. So these are the mental intention behind. That's why you got this aversion towards them. You don't like them. You feel that they are a nuisance to you because they bite you, and sometimes you feel uncomfortable with the bite. Then you need to either apply tiger balm or whatever. Then sometimes you put mosquito repellent. That one got dharma one. You ask the mosquito don't come near. But the other one is dudana, let them bite. Understand? Then just slowly like blow it off. Or just like the fly, slowly remove it. Or just make it go away. So these are the mindful people who are aware. They will not out of anger, out of fear and selfishness become like negative in their mental intention. Means they perceive the mosquito with negativity, dislike, ill will, and then just want to destroy and kill. So the awareness is very important. The moment you perceive, either through seeing or through that hearing, that very moment of awareness already developed the yoniso manasikara, understand, the wisdom at the moment of sense experience. But if you don't have that wisdom, you have ayoniso, means negativity or karma, the evil root arise, selfishness arise, you perceive it negativity, you dislike the mosquito. Then the intention to kill and harm and destroy. Well, to you, you are more important than that mosquito. And you doesn't understand that it has life that is coming behind. But don't worry, if you kill already, it means past is already gone. Don't come in remorse and panic. But I killed so many when I was young, so what? I also killed when I was young, but not that many. Because last time when young, I also don't know. We stay in a small town where there's a lot of mosquitoes. We don't have netting, nothing. So when we sleep, we have this, what they call, like a curtain. That is not really a curtain. No. Ours is the raised platform. Raised platform. About 1.5 feet high or slightly above 1 foot, 15 inches like that. Then the whole platform is a 10 by 10 room with a raised platform. 9 of us with my mother, we sleep there. Then there is a, it's not even a curtain, the thing like two half one. You just lower it down, lower it down. It's just a cloth like that. Bola, Lulang Kong Bang, but my mother just buy a cloth and just put like that. It's like the simple type of I don't know what you call it. It's like a big curtain, understand? A big curtain. But then you come in, that time you open, then you go in, you sleep, then after that you walk out, you close. So hopefully the mosquito got no chance to come in. But somehow it just come in. Off and on, my mother will take the curtain up, then use that thing, don't know, like duster or what, to chase out all the mosquito. Then he will close it back. So it's how you actually perceive it. So when the condition is like that, we still haven't understood the karmic implication. So that time when I was young, I also killed, but not many. I can recall not many, but I still killed because that time cannot understand. There is still dislike for this style thing. Because when it beats you, our mosquito in the kampong, very big one, because they flourish very well. They got a lot of food and water. So especially rainy season, they breed a lot. And they are like B-52 bomber. They really sting you. A lot at night, because you know, during the early days, every family is not that rich or affluent. So most of us are quite poor. Then during that time, we don't have proper electricity. Understand not? We use candlelight. So at night, evening time, a lot of mosquito. Then later on, even got electricity, my father wanted to save electricity. He buy the 5-watt one, very dim one, enough to have light to go toilet. That's why that one, a lot of mosquito breeding ground inside. So those were the conditions we grew up in the 50s and the 60s. I was born in the early 50s. So during that time, well water and all those things. After you already know the Dhamma, you know the implication of karma and all those things, you should immediately keep the precept and abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. So what I'm trying to share with you is, it is impossible to break the precept, because the moment you are aware that wisdom, yoniso manasikara, oh no, this is a living thing or a living being. It has life. It has karmic implication. That's why you will not be able to harm or kill, because it's never worthwhile. And there is life. If you can kill, means you don't have love. You don't have compassion. Understand? This one is not knowledge, you know. You really feel it. That's why you can't do it. Because you reap what you sow. When you smash, use the mic. Use the mic.
You know the little ants? They are so tiny. How are you going to get rid of them? You just have to say, "I'm very sorry, you have to go." And then you just...
It depends, Chui. Different people at different stages of your life with different understanding, you will do things differently. You are at your this moment, your capacity to have that those type of more refined understanding, you will do that, because to you it's just a little end. Then like the book say, not that big one, small one, less karma one. So you're willing to do it. But the thing is, there is life. You can't. When I was young, I don't know why, when I see the ant fall into the mug, the condensed milk, I just couldn't help but try to rescue the ant. That time I still don't know the Dhamma, but I was doing it. And sometimes the ant come, you may think it's a nuisance and all those things, but then you don't have to kill, understand? You can just slowly clear them. Then keep the place clean. And sometimes my wife use the don't know what. There's something that they don't want to come on. I don't know what you call it. Because there is karmic, you know. I kena once. I told you all that I was at my second last teacher's place. We were helping her to they call it ta sao chua, clean up the whole house. I think it's once in many years they do it once. So all the kayamita were there. So I saw one storeroom. So there was no light. So I opened the door. Then I walk in. Then I can sense that there are ants, because they came to my leg. So I came out. I get the broom. I get a torchlight. Then I slowly have to sweep it out. So when I was sweeping it out, you know, after it come out already, I can feel the end, the fear. Every time I sweep, there is fear. But if you sweep, It's just like a giant sweeping the end. You know? And there is a lot of karmic there. You know? So because of that, I try to mitigate all those things. That's why I slowly clear it, then get the dustbin to actually fill it, then let them have a home outside, in the whatever. So you try your very best, understand or not, not to cause harm. That's why I, for me, this precept is, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. Because causing harm is, to me, as severe as killing. You may not know its severity. When you cause harm to people, it's worse than, sometimes it's worse than killing them. When you harm people, people get very angry, they feel the pain and all those things. But when you kill, it's that moment only, no more, they don't suffer so much. But killing is very severe, where you take life. That's why if you kill a lot, heavy karma, what does the book say? Eh? You will be bored? No! Short life! Understand or not? Then you suffer. Understand or not? You will have a lot of sickness, pain, and all those things. You reap what you sow, but in another form. So this is how the Dhamma, through mindfulness, wisdom, and understanding, can help you develop all this love, compassion, and understanding. This is what cultivation is all about. So at the moment of hearing or seeing, you are already aware you can't kill. Understand that? Then let's say you are so heedless, you are not mindful. All this mental intention went through already with the evil root, the selfishness, the intention to kill, the dislike for the what they call the mosquito. Then what happened next? You have to kill, isn't it? Where the mental intention is there, the action has to take place there. So if you got kaya nupasana, what happened? Before your hand move, you aware, understand or not? Then how can it move? You are going to kill people, understand? That's why mindfulness is very powerful. Kaya Nupassana is very powerful. At the moment of this movement, you know. Then when this movement is there, you are not mindful and aware. The moment you slam onto the mosquito has to be there for you to break the precept, understand? If you miss it, you still don't break the precept. So you just imagine how difficult is it to break the precept. Means you are completely heedless and totally lack mindfulness and awareness. You don't have yoniso manasika at all. You are not sensitive. You don't have love. You don't have compassion. And you can be so heedless and selfish as to just get what you want and kill. That's why you can't. I realize after that, I can't do a lot of things. Yeah. It just can't. Not to say I want or I don't want. That understanding stop you. That love, that compassion stop you from doing all those things. And you can't deceive people and cheat people and do all those things anymore. Cannot. Because you know it's not worthwhile. The karmic thing. Because during that period when I was cultivating, it showed it to me. What they say here, immediately effective, they didn't know that. That's why they didn't give you those examples. When you are a cultivator, when you are very near enlightenment, all they show it to you, immediately come back. Intention arise, you can already. The effect come back very fast, immediately effective. And it show it to you until you come to this understanding. You cannot take for granted what karma is. Karma is very powerful. It will hit you until you will have very strong faith in what the Buddha advised you, the power of karma. Karma is very powerful. I always use the Hokkien saying, Bo kao lu bo siang sin. Karma is like that. It's no more a question of you believe or you don't believe, because that is the nature's law, and it's very powerful, very powerful. Okay? So these five conditions, when you have the mindfulness, the Dhamma and the understanding, is almost impossible for you to break. Yeah. Then we go on. Yeah? The gravity of the evil depends on the goodness and the magnitude of the being concerned. Now, this is correct. Hmm. The killing of a virtuous person or a bigger animal is regarded as more heinous than the killing of a vicious person or a small animal, because a greater effort is needed to commit the evil, and the loss involved is considerably great. Yeah. But if you look at it for another way, you kill an evil person, vicious person. Yeah? Isn't it you are trying to help society to clean up all these people? What do you think? Like a policeman on duty. You got a mad fellow come out, shoot all over. Isn't it better to bring him down? Understand? Well, it's your duty as a police, as a government official. Yeah. Then you save the life of so many. That's why it depends on mental intention. It doesn't mean when you kill, it's all negative. It's mental intention, because he's doing his duty, like the executioner. The Buddha said, if it's your duty, then there is no real karma. Understand that? Because you perform that duty, you are under duty to kill, to preserve public order, save life and all those things. Like a soldier, you defend your country. Yeah. So there are a lot of things behind karma which people don't understand. Yeah. But our Chinese culture got a very famous saying, Hao nan pu tang ping, or what? Yeah, what? Yeah. If you are a good man, means your family, they wouldn't allow you to become a soldier. Understand? How han pu tang ping. How nan. Not only have to kill, because to them, as a soldier, you can die any time. They don't want to allow their only son or child. That's why in the olden day, the emperor, when they go for war, who they call? All the young and strong one go. They call compulsory service. Now we call compulsory service. That time, compulsory to serve the country. Also service, compulsory to serve the country. So this part depends on your understanding. If there is understanding, sometimes you can sacrifice. Like there is one case during the Buddha's time as a Bodhisattva. The tigress was very, very hungry and wounded. Then she gave birth to a few cubs, I think 4 cubs. Then the Bodhisattva saw, if the tigress were to die, the cub would die. We have no food. You know what he did? He jumped down and sacrificed his flesh body and let the tigress live. Yeah. Only a Bodhisattva can do. The compassion is so great. Not only it doesn't kill, it has this great compassion to sacrifice. That's why the perfection of love, Dana Parami, the gift of life, he can just sacrifice like that. Yeah. That's why it's not easy to perfect all this perfection. So the way of the Bodhisattva and the way of a normal sainthood cultivator is very, very different, vast apart. Mm. Okay, then we go to the consequence of having those karma. Huh? The evil effect of killing are? The first one is what? Brevity of life, short life, ill health, constant grief due to the separation from loved one. Because when you kill somebody, you cause people to have suffering because of separation. Sometimes their breadwinner, sometimes their spouse, their brothers, their sister, or their children. So this one will come back to you. You will have to pay back. Then constant fear. When you're about to kill somebody, what happened to that person? Full of fear. That's why these are the karmic consequent effect. So you reap what you sow. Then similarly for stealing, the five condition is almost similar. We go to the effect. The inevitable consequence of stealing are? You will be born poverty. Most of the time you are poor. Then you have a lot of misery. Because when you steal people's thing, if it's something that is life and death to them, what happens? They suffer, they become miserable. Sometimes it's their life saving, Sometimes it's their children's education, You just steal like that, understand? Or sometimes it's for emergency, certain thing very important. You just steal. And the misery that you cause to people is very severe. There was a... Who was it last time? It was one of the Kayanamita, who brought the sister here, I think. I forgot who already. There was one Kayanamita. She got this, what they call business. They got a business somewhere. Then he got a brother, she got another brother. This brother, I think, actually the business belonged to the father. Then the brother, the sister, they all have to run the business. Then this brother, every time steal money from the company, or take the money and use it, and sometimes he keep and buy shop lot every time. Every time cash flow problem, he don't care. Then the sister and the father will go and have to take up loan and all those things. Then one day, life was so miserable because of that karmic thing. You see, they got cash flow problem. Then they managed to get, the brother-in-law or don't know who to help them. It was about 30,000 or 50,000, I forgot. And that was very critical to actually salvage the company from going bankrupt or being sued by people. And when she went and collect the money was with her in the car. Before she reached the bank to bank in, she was robbed. And the money just gone. I tell you, she almost committed suicide. So full of grief. You say, how can life be like that? It's life and death, and they find all means. Finally, one of the brother-in-law, don't know what, who was so kind to loan the money to them. And the money just got robbed like that. That's why sometimes karma, when you understand this, means your precept on stealing is not good enough. That's why all this can happen. So these are the effects of violating this precepts of stealing. So the inevitable consequence of stealing are poverty, misery, disappointment, and dependent livelihood. Your life become affected. Then the four conditions for sexual misconduct. This one also very severe. So this one is not five, huh? This one only four. Then you commit sexual misconduct, karmic. Understand? First one is the thought to enjoy. Then the action. Then the means to gratify and the actual gratification. The inevitable consequence of sexual misconduct are what? Having many enemies. That's why when you do this to people, there will be a lot of enmity. Then union with undesirable wives and husbands, you will have to face this karmic consequence. And birth as a woman or an eunuch, but PG don't agree. Birth as a woman, I also don't quite agree. Actually, birth as a woman got many reasons. Many reasons. But one of them is karmic, you know. One of them is karmic. You like it or not? There are many reasons why you take birth as a woman. But most of these female births are emotional people. Understand not? Then sometimes it's karmic because you have to be a woman to experience those type of karma. A woman got more suffering, you know, your monthly period and all those things. Then you have to carry the childbirth. And this one is not easy. Then our society is, unless you follow us to Shangri-La, Ni Er Kuo, that woman very powerful. It's the other way around. Your children follow your surname, the woman's side surname, and they enjoy all the authority of men in the Han culture. So it's the complete opposite. Otherwise, it's the other way around. But birth as a woman has a lot of advantage too. Advantage too. You tend to have good karma if you are not heedless and deluded. Understand? Because you tend to be the mother who give birth, and because you give birth, you tend to have more love, responsibility and care for your children. And like I used to joke with my wife, do you know why woman's parami is very high? You only need to give birth to one enlightened being. Understand? Chabi liao, Polian also know. Chabi liao. Then my wife last night tell me, want to give birth? Minimum must be arahan or bodhisattva. Otherwise, bring them to this world for what? All those things. So these are the advantages. Because ladies and women, they don't contemplate all this. But for me, very funny, from my past, I knew about all this. But the funny thing is, most of the time, my nature came, I was a man, I don't know why. So maybe I don't have to go through all those things I already went through. And like previously, many of my life, I was a monk in Rome. But I had enough of it already. So I don't have to come as a monk. Because I know what is best. That's why I like Vimla Kitty. He likes to come as a lay person. And he can interact with anybody. He is not subject to all the Patimokkha, the house rule and all those things. But if you want to have that type of freedom, you must have the Dhamma, understand not? You understand not? Otherwise, if you are not subject to rules and Patimokkha, you can create havoc, understand not? So you don't go and think, oh, like Brother Tio, I will like come as a lay person, good, I also vow. I tell you, you don't have the parami and the understanding. You come as a lay person, it's very difficult to cultivate first. Second, you will commit a lot of nonsense because free for all. You are not subject to rules and being dominant, the male. You do all those things. Then in future, you born as a female. Why? Because you bully the female, understand not? You become the victim. A lot of men doesn't know, they dump their spouse, they jilted their girlfriend, and all the thing create so much suffering. And a lot of ladies this life, they don't want to get married. Maybe we ask Polian and PG, why they don't want to get married? Han also. Chui also, Ayo, don't forget our experience, Chui. Oh, it's very interesting. Okay, PG first.
Don't see too many good examples.
Oh, okay. very good. That one, fully agreed. Chui, next one. Same, Han. Yeah. Chui, pass over. On it. Push it out all the way.
Not for family.
Okay. Yeah.
Especially children and husband.
Yeah. No need to be tied down. I ain't married. Got children. Palaya?
Less problem la.
Oyo, less problem la. Ichi hua palaya? Your house done next end of the week, no? It must get you to speak more on that day. Why see? Blessing in this guy, you get to speak out and learn so much. I see. Yeah. So now we know why people don't get married. But last time, my first batch of Kayan Mita, the percentage is so high now. All single didn't get married. Most of them. I think 70 or 80%.
Brother, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Now we are saying, like, just now you said, if you cause a lot of misery, you don't know what you do. Like you jilt your wife, your girlfriends, you leave your wife, or whatever. But I thought it's like, certain people are supposed to go through this karma.
Okay.
And then the person who jilt them, they also wouldn't know. So that's why they have to do their part. So that the other person can suffer the misery. If nobody does the jilting.
Okay, so this is her point of view. What do you think? The rest of you.
No, I'm saying that we say the person who does the action,
according to karma, he say according to karma, the person who suffer, the lady who suffer get jilted, is her karma. I do not deny that, because like the Buddha say, we are all born of our karma, and to our karma condition is supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So this one is true, it's because of karma. Then the other one, he says, the person who did this is deluded. He didn't know got such karmic consequence. Otherwise, he wouldn't do. Understand? So to her, it's like justified. Because you have the condition, and I have this tendency, so I do it to you. But karma is not like that. Understand? Like I told that girl that day, the lady that came, Suyan brought her. You know what is karma, not? Of course, most people know you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So, whatever that happened to you this life, I told that lady, because she was not only miserable, no? PG say they will go through that, so what? No, really severe, because so many of these lady who kena all this, I come and see me, and I've heard so many of this thing. Very severe. You got condition, I tell you all more. They not only gone through severe mental problem, depression, fear, sometimes because of the abuses and all those things. A lot of things will happen. Then I tell you, the intense grief, the misery, the fear, insomnia, cannot sleep, the thought of death, thing bring about phobia, fear, and very severe, because later on it affects their loved one, their children, their in-law, their parents, their good friends, and all those things. Everybody is affected because of what happened to her. Then that part keep on intruding, like depressed people, OCD. You know what is OCD? Yeah? Obsessive compulsive disorder. The thought is very obsessed, compulsive, intrusive, keep on haunting you, and create this wrong thought of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, then the phobia and all those things. So this karmic effect and consequence is very severe. So for you to get back, you have to be born a lady. You have to go through all this process to understand. But karma is not like I do it to you this life, next life you do back to me. No such thing, understand? Karma is if you do that action, then there is a karmic potential for it to ripen. It depending on which jhavana, determining thought moment when you commit those actions. But if you cause this thing to your spouse or opposite sex, mostly for our civilization is the man caused to the lady. You don't think that if you are lucky it occur on the first determining thought moment, or worst case scenario, less lucky the seventh jhavana, then you can escape in life. But this line no condition, you free. Next line no condition, you also escape. You can't. Because when you do this, it's not only one determining thought moment. No. During that duration, there is definitely a lot of those in the second to the sixth. That's how you cannot run. Yeah. Then when there is condition, it will arise. So karma is not immediate, understand? The immediate effective karma is just limited to some. But most of the time, because there is no condition, it's not immediate. That's why there is no condition, nothing happens, you cannot see. But in future, when you take future birth, when there is condition, it will arise. That's why I told her, when you ask for forgiveness and repent, because this is due to karma, understand? You don't want to ask for forgiveness from your husband, no, who did all these things to you. But it may not be him who did it to you. Most of the time, it's other beings. That's why it's whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that you have created any karmic negativity, suffering, misery, or all this type of karmic thing, you would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness in front of the Triple Gem or whatever great beings that you have faith in. It can be Jesus or Kuan Yin or whatever. So after you ask for forgiveness and repentance, you vow not to repeat all this, because you know these are all evil actions, speech and thought process and consequences that can bring about karmic negativity, and you don't want to be entangled again. That's why you vow not to repeat all this. And from now onward, you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping precept, to cultivate wholesomeness by cultivating noble eightfold path, and to meditate to develop wisdom to free your mind. So if you do this, over a period of at least 3 months, your merits will be there. Then you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to recover from this karmic condition. And you will recover. And through all this understanding, which is wisdom, when you recover, the karma just reverse. Because it got no more effect on you. So there is no more condition for it to continue to come and haunt you. That's how you can reverse karma. Through understanding the nature's law. Through understanding the Buddha Dharma. And you don't have to suffer. That's what I told her. So you cannot conclude like what PG said. They are karma. They have to suffer. Yeah, they are karma, correct. But this is life. You know what it's like? The conditioned world, it recognizes relationship because our form and mind is subject to the law of karma. That's why you have right duty. You cannot simply do things, understand? You cannot say, hey, her karma, she deserves it, that's why I can do whatever I like to hear her. There is no such nature's law, understand? Karma doesn't work that way, understand? Like we all know, living being, each and every one, they are born of their karma, add to their karma conditions about the life, and they are what they are because of karma. But the moment you violate this law, whether that victim has that karma for you to abuse or what, doesn't matter. You still break that karmic law, understand? That's why you have to have right duty in order to take care of karma. That's why all of the enlightened disciples of the Buddha, they got this four quality of good conduct, of upright conduct, means they are righteous. They are very, very sincere, truthful. Then of wise conduct, they are very wise. Then the last one is of dutiful conduct. They have right duty. That's why my teacher, Acharyantra, say, right duty is right Dhamma. He say in Thai, right duty is right Dhamma. Dhamma is Thai word for Dhamma. So these are all the understanding. So when you understand that no condition, karma will not have a chance to ripen. So you avoid the condition for it to arise. Like I say, last time my faith teacher didn't know, he saw me with a new Toyota Altis when it was new, about 14 years ago. He said, I have been like having this thought for 3 months, I wanted to ask you, why did you lock your car, the new Altis? He said, your parami is so good. Your karma is so good. Oh, okay. And now you listen. I said, out of love and compassion for those who might steal this car, that's why I make it more difficult for them to steal, so that they steal other car that is not locked, to avoid the negativity of karma. That is the first thing. The second thing is to avoid the unnecessary condition for this car to be stolen. I say, if you think like that, then you might sell. Next time when you think you have that parami like me, you buy a new car, start the engine, put the key there, don't lock and walk and have tetarik, see you come back, your car still there. It's foolish, isn't it? You create condition for it to get lost. It's like you keep your house gate all open. So if the robber go by or some theft go by, you think they are not tempted to go into your house. It's just like in a very, very more not so decent type of way. Sometimes they say, these ladies, sometimes they like to wear short, isn't it? Or miniskirt, isn't it? Or the way to attract people, isn't it? Then I got one classmate, oh, he say, they all are very hypocrite, you know why? They purposely wear short and yet they pull the skirt, no? Pull, like pull. Actually, it's to attract your attention. You want to wear short, you pull for what? So, Che Tai Ji Chou, they say. How many don't know Hokkien? You don't know Hokkien? Mo Si Wan Si Chou. Che Tai Ji Chou. Means, you like lure people, attract people, understand? But not in that sense, understand? If you go and purposely dress until sexy and all those things, then you create condition, understand? But if it's just a fashion or what, no harm, understand? But don't go overboard, understand? There's nothing wrong to wear the latest fashion and all those things and to have the good life. You can have good food, no problem. But don't go overboard by doing things that bring about condition for unnecessary negativity to arise. That is very important. That's why avoiding the condition is number one. The Buddha always say, without condition, nothing happens. When there is condition, things will happen. So karma is not only you reap what you sow. do good because good, do evil because this is only a very small aspect of karma. The real understanding of karma is very, very much more, a lot more complex. So karma is about understanding that wherever the karmic cause arises, the effect will not be immediate, not necessary. Because sometimes, depending on which javana and all those things, and there is no condition, it will not happen. So that's why I use that the karmic potential is there. If it's the second to sixth determining moment, this is eternally effective until your mind liberates. Yeah. But as long as the karmic nature is there, it will be there. Even after you walk the bodhisattva way, as a bodhisattva, that karmic, eternally effective, is still in your karmic nature. You cannot run, understand or not? You don't think you are already bodhisattva, you are like exempted from all these things. No. You can have the wisdom and the understanding. But as long as you are not connected, like when I was young, I still not connected, I can still commit karmic negativity. Yeah. But the moment you connect, the understanding all come back, from that moment onward, you are different. Your form and mind is different. And this is what the bodhisattva is all about. Yeah. That's why when the Buddha was born, he lived a normal life until the enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree at the age of 35. And then he became the Sammasambuddha. Then from then onward, he cannot commit any more karmic negativity because of the understanding, the wisdom, you know, those things, and the perfection that comes back to him. Okay? So we finish the second one. Eh? The third one is what? Oh, sorry, we finished the third one. Eh? Sexual misconduct. Eh? The fourth one is telling lies. Eh? Yeah. So telling lies also four conditions are necessary to complete the evil of lying. Namely, there is an untruth. Eh? Means the intention to speak falsely, eh? Not to speak the truth. So that deceiving intention is the main one. Eh? Then because there is the untruth, there is a deceiving intention to utter it, to say it. That's why the action is utterance. Yeah. Then the actual deception happens. Yeah. The inevitable consequence of lying are being subject to abuse by people, abusive speech and verification. What is verification? What is verification? V-I-L-I-F-I. Vilification. Oh, okay. Now we understand. So the coming is abusive speech and when people verify you, means curse and swear. Untrustworthiness and stinking mouth. Well, these are the conditions when you lie a lot.
Yes. We all as sabkona, shokana.
Not necessary.
Because a lot of times...
you have to lie. Not necessary. I was in the construction industry.
I never lie. Nowadays, is very different.
The dying breed.
Are very different.
Chichong already. No, it depends. Last time, a salesman used to tell me the same thing. Brother Theo, this fourth precept I cannot keep. I'm a salesman. So to them, a salesman must push it all the way through to get sales. I said, no need. If you do that, karmic, and you will not do well, it worse, because you will hit back. You will get into big trouble. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, pass the mic. This is a very good one. They talk rubbish. Chichi, repeat the 99% and talk rubbish.
99.99%
All the salespeople. All the salespeople.
And they may be the nicest persons, but somewhere along the line.
Yeah, the motive is because their motive is commission.
Make money.
Yeah, commission. That's why they have selfishness. Understand that? That's why 99.9%. I agree. Well, most of these people, I deliver a talk at this, what they call, When Yun Chan asked me to give a talk at Fo Guang, I think the cafe there or the cha shi there. After I finished that talk, I think on the 537 or something, somebody put up the hand. No, he's a salesman. No, he said, "Brother, I'm a salesman, and I find it very difficult to keep the fourth precept." Oh, then you know how I teach him. No? I say, "Can I have done sales too? I also do sales. Well, when I was an engineer, I find that my initial salary not enough." So I go do part-time, I sell insurance. Then later on, I also sell unit trust, I think. And you know what happened? Sales is a profession. If you understand, you will do well. You don't have to lie. I say, first thing you need to find out before you go into any sales is whether your product is good or not. Understand? If your product is genuine and good, do you have to lie? You don't have to, is it? If your product is one of the most competitive or more competitive one, you don't have to lie, is it? Then sales become easy. Isn't it? Then you are helping people. Understand? Or? You understand? If it's of a good health product or certain good feature type of product, like my wife bought the Rainbow and the vacuum cleaner, really expensive, but it has its benefits, advantages, and all things. That's why I say you don't have to lie. But if you go and work for a company where the product is bullshit one, then your karmic is very severe. You lie all the way. And sometimes because of the commission, you couldn't care less. Understand? Not? You go and say things that are not true. Understand? Because you didn't find out that product. You know. That's why law of karma, dharma, there is a lot of things involving wisdom and understanding. Otherwise you can't. Like PJ say, subcontractor all have to lie. I can't blame her because the condition in the industry is the contractor and the subcontractor cannot left and right from everybody. So the consultant will scold them. The client also will scold them. The main contractor and the boss of the main contractor also will scold them. Then after that, the project manager will scold the subcontractor and the worker of the thing. So finally, who can? All those subcontractor and contractor. Yeah, the main contractor will taro the subcontractor. So the subcontractor will taro the worker. Then they go to meeting. Subcontractor get no payment from the main contractor. They not say anything wrong or negative about the main contractor. They have to lie their way through. Understand? So there's a lot of this thing, but you don't have to. Because when I went through the industry, I actually educated a lot of contractors who are scared of consultants, especially architects. I told them, you don't worry. I'm the client here. I will fight for what is right, like Mahathir, the rule of law. I help them to actually settle a lot of their hidden hand, putting pressure on them. There were many occasions, but now no more time. 10:30, we have to end. Okay, we stop here. Then we continue next Tuesday. Maybe next Tuesday onward, I will take over and lead so that the discussion can be more lively. So we should thank PG for all this while, for helping us in the early chapters. I think she did very well too. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I think in this way we discuss more meaningful, and there is more interaction. Otherwise, when you just read through, it doesn't go in. It doesn't really bring about understanding and all that. Especially this topic is not easy. Later on, I will go back onto the various type of karmic that they try to classify. They got the immediate karma, immediately effective karma, subsequently effective karma, then the indefinite karma, then the ineffective karma. So you know the difference between indefinite karma and ineffective karma. No? Just now you didn't listen when PG read. You go back and read. Never mind, I will discuss it.
Negative karma.
You repeat. If one is sincere and truthful,
ourselves and to others,
we definitely have much less negative karma. But you also need to have wisdom. Sincere and truthful is born of wisdom. But when the wisdom is not there, it's sincere and truthful according to you. Definitely, because that is not born of the real wisdom. I'm very sincere. That's why I tell him the truth. You are being blunt. That is not sincere. Understand? That is being blunt. You want to really cengku him. So like last time my teacher, he speak the truth. He put in the school living cert, big mouth talk a lot. That is being blunt. That is not sincere. But that was the true character of that classmate of mine. That's why you must have wisdom, I say. When you say, if you are truthful and sincere, you will have less karma. That's why I agree, less. But you need wisdom, I say. But without wisdom, you're sincere and... the first word was what? Sincere and truthful is according to you. May not be the actual one. If you have the actual one, means you already awakened. But initially, you have to go through the process. You need to be sincere, truthful. What is the meaning of sincere? Not only true to yourself, understand that? Not only that, true, not only to yourself, to others, to society, to community, to nature, everything. That's why that sincerity is universal. It's not to say that if you don't lie, you are being sincere. Sometimes it's 整骨眼, I didn't lie. Yeah, your husband, that night I saw her fooling around there. You have been truthful, isn't it? But the mental intention, it's okay.
Even if we see you, so we just keep quiet.
No. What I mean is when you say if you are truthful, it means you don't commit any. No, sometimes truthful with wrong mental intention is still negativity. Because this is wrong speech that bring about conflict, misunderstanding, and sometimes we call it what? Insensitive type of speeches. Isn't it? You understand? It bring about like backbiting, setting things behind people's back. But in that case, it's truth because he really saw. Understand? He not act in thing. Understand? He really saw and he come back because he wants to like report to you. It's like do you a favor. If your husband really up to no good lah. What happened if you do that? But by not telling, it's worse. Understand not? Just now, see, also don't say anything. It's worse. Understand not? You know why? Because later on, your friend found out you already knew long ago and you never informed me and you never even tried to let me know. You know how lady react? My best friend, no? Never inform me. And the worst is the three triangle love affair is among their own classmates. Their best friends knew about another classmate also after the husband. Don't want to say anything. In the name of what? Try to protect her from hurt and all those things. But sometimes it's not what you think. Karma is like that. For me, I will not do anything until condition arise. Condition arise means he got the karma to receive this information. Understand? No, the condition. Suddenly they will talk about certain things, then it bring about condition for this to be revealed. Then it will not cause her all the reaction and all those things. I am not trying to like make her angry through all this.
or let her do all those funny things so that there is suffering. No. It's because there is condition that we will advise. Understand? Maybe sometimes he talk, then lead to another person also having this problem and how they become miserable, all those things. Because finally the husband did all those things. But actually her case also same, no? So got condition, so you tell her, you don't mind. Huh? I think most people have this, including maybe you. You better go and find out. Or you can say, I heard. I heard. So don't panic, understand? Don't worry, because we know the Dhamma, understand? It's coming. You have to repay, you have to repay, understand? Him chai wan chin ma, fair or not? Understand? This is what you did to people in the past. So now, the condition, this is what karma is all about. Kenapa? But don't go and ke cui ke tau hu and make people angry and jealous. Speak the Dhamma, understand? Help them to overcome and resolve. Then don't worry, even if that news come out, you don't have to panic. We know the Dhamma, we know how to deal with it. We can resolve it amicably. So we don't have to try to hide, avoid, and all those things. These are what they call, you try to put up a face, understand? You are not being truthful, sincere, and you dare not face the truth. Means we are trying to like hide things. So we are not ourselves, understand? We put on a face, understand? No lah, I think see wrongly lah, and all those things, understand? Well, you dare not face the truth. But if you have the wisdom, the understanding, and the Dhamma, you can face the thing when there is condition. You can speak in such a way that it will bring about goodness, wholesomeness, understanding. That is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Speak gently. Lessonly, speak with wisdom, understanding. Then advise people. Don't worry. Like I told that lady, this is something that is universal. It's a universal reality. Not only you subject to such First Noble Truth reality. Every living being that live life long enough has to go through it. And if they don't have the Dhamma and the understanding, they will be afflicted. They will suffer. That's why when you have this understanding, then they know they are not the only one that is affected. This is a universal problem. So the difference between a person who suffers and a person who don't is, the person who don't suffer has the Dhamma. And for you, you can come out, you can walk out of it. That's why after 2 hours she felt so good, so much better, then more confident and know how to resolve all these things. I say, it's a common problem. The Buddha called it the secret of life. Understand? Prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere when you don't have the understanding. This is what the First Noble Truth is all about. Okay, we better stop. Okay, let us share and transfer merits. Then we also should invoke power merits for Queenie, for her recovery. Every time I thought it was a minor fall, until she didn't turn up for 2 or 3 Tuesday classes. How is her condition? Anybody know? Oh, better. Anyway, yeah, we will invoke our merits. She fell and hurt her hand, I think. Fractured. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the last 2 hours plus, and we shall now invoke power merits and share this merits with all beings. Then we will also invoke power merits for Sister Queenie, our Kainamita, to recover from her injury or her earlier fall. May she recover the good health. May she recover beautifully so that she can be normal again, so that she can also have the condition to join our Tuesday class and hopefully Paulian's house Dana. Then we also miss her chow mai fan and cooking. Anyway, we rejoice with all the wholesomeness, the good Dana Parami and all the wholesomeness that she has developed while
She was with us early on, our spiritual trip and all our sharing. And by the power of her wholesomeness, may also arise the causes and conditions for her to recover to good health soon as possible, so that she can gain back her good life again. Okay, now we will share merits with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu lokasasana itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idaya nila mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yāvā nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Triple Gem, and all the worthy ones, then we end. Thank you.